start off, if you could please state your full name, the current time and date, and any background information K-Mud listeners should know about you.
Hello, my name is Sasha Marini, and it is Wednesday, May 6th at 4 a.m. UTC time. I've been a Humboldt County resident since 1996 and have enjoyed all the wonderful things about Humboldt for so long. And I keep you all dear in my heart as I'm here in southeast Crete. The status of the Global Summit Flotilla is that we have been in this port that we found refuge in after being attacked, abducted in an act of piracy in international waters over 600 kilometers away from the Gaza shores. So we've been here for multiple days. It's hard to keep track of how many. It feels like maybe five at this point. I can't remember. But the Piracy Act started on Wednesday into Thursday.
What is the status of the flotilla? Where are you currently, and are you allowed to depart your vessel?
It took about 2 days to sail to this port. And once we arrived here, we were instructed to just stay on our boats because the political environment of what it means to go ashore was unknown. So just to be on the safe side and to avoid any kind of bureaucratic warfare that could occur, such as going ashore and then being detained on shore by any port authorities or, you know, fabricated reasons to not allow us to get on the boats was a real concern. Since then, I think since 2 days ago, we are going to shore, but we are staying within the port, so a smaller area. And that's been felt to be a legitimate area that we can be in as a vessel moored and anchored here at this port. So as of 2 days ago, we are going to shore and connecting finally with the people that were intercepted. We are now being able to hear more about the stories, about the experience of people who were taken onto a large detainment ship. We had a sharing circle last night where people who were abducted and intercepted got to share what their experience was, and then people who defeated the piracy and were able to maintain control of their ships and get to this safe harbor. We got to share what our experiences were. So kind of just reintegrating and updating each other on what the full scope of the picture is. As of now, we are continuing forward. We will be leaving shortly and heading to Turkey.
Will you attempt to reach Gaza again? Is there any known timeline? And also, what cargo or aid do you hope to deliver?
The center and focus of our work is a free Palestine. And though we've suffered this early act of piracy and abductions, I think as a group, we're regathering our senses, and it's taken a minute. But that is always our compass, is free Palestine and breaking the illegal siege. We still have aid to deliver. I believe most boats have basic food staples. There's also children's toys. We have like one box of children's toys on our ship as well, but most of it is food.
If known, what is the current status of Silas Beaver and any updates on the 34 people who were hospitalized in Crete?
In terms of Silas Beaver, as I understand it, he is in Turkey. He flew to Turkey and is there. And in terms of the people that were hospitalized, as I understand it, they have all been released. So at yesterday's sharing circle, I saw people with broken nose bandages, neck braces, arm slings. Social media has had some share outs on some of the things that people endured while on the detainment ship, including a sexual assault.
Can you describe the experience of being on a ship under siege by Israeli forces? Did you expect an interception so far away from Gaza?
This act of piracy, I really can't even call it an interception. We were so far away from entering any sort of critical area towards Gaza. We were clearly sailing along Italy towards Greece, over 600 kilometers from the shores of Gaza. So it was purely an act of piracy on international waters. It was unexpected. I didn't expect anything like that to happen so early in our departure from Sicily. And our support boats, the support boats are going alongside us, our motorboats, carrying fuels, supplies, and they did not plan to be in harm's way. They always intended to not follow us into the critical zones towards Gaza. So that was a surprise, and it was targeted. They targeted our leadership, the boat supports that allowed us to continue. So very strategic targeting of leadership personnel as well as our supply and support resources. In terms of the attack, it happened in the early evening, so it was dark out. On our boat, we conduct regular lookouts, night watches, to look for drones or anything on the horizon, anything to be concerned about. So I happened to be at the front of the boat conducting my watch, and I was reporting drones surveilling higher in the sky, zigzagging in a pattern across our flotilla fleet. Many people were reporting those drone sightings. And then on the horizon, heading towards us, I saw, I want to say, 2 to 3 white lights. And after being on the flotilla for multiple days at that point, you kind of know what the flotilla looks like. And these were lower on the horizon than their navigation lights of our flotilla ships could see, that they were low speedboat type boats heading towards us. So immediately I reported that into our communications. Multiple boats were communicating. And at that point, I alerted our boat, and we entered into protocol that we have for potential interception. So our boat worked together to prepare ourselves for an approach, and we were all on high alert, and we all had defined roles. It was the first time it was in real time that we were doing it, though we had practiced drills prior. So that muscle memory was somewhat there, but there was a lot to learn from the experience. Was high alert for most of the night, because as those speedboats approached, we were right next to another sailboat. And instead of heading towards us, they headed towards the sailboat right next to us, which was maybe 50 feet away from us. That boat quickly turned around to try to outrun them. And I feel like that visual and memory is seared in my brain forever, of this little sailboat, you know, changing its course 180 degrees and trying to outrun these speedboats. What we did was we just continued on. So we increased our speed, we continued on, and slowly watched boats around us get boarded. And multiple times a drone would come at the sailboats with bright lights. It was almost as if they were looking, like, who's on this boat? Is this a boat we want to approach? Is it have people on it that we want? This is all speculation, but many people seem to speculate that they were shining those lights from the drones to just see who's on the ships and see which boats they wanted. We were able to continue on along with the other boats and headed towards a destination that was just get us away. So even hours after the first interception, we were seeing the speedboats behind us approaching, then veering off, and it was exhausting to, you know, continue to see them. I guess describing how it was emotionally, you're just on you're just responding to the moment. And then afterwards, it's been, you know, a couple of days to just process and come down from all that adrenaline rush. So
what drove you to joining the flotilla? What do you hope to accomplish?
I would say the reason that I initially joined was because there was a call for people with sailing and boating skills to join the flotilla. And I grew up sailing and have boating experience. So I really wanted to lend those skills towards the expedition. But ultimately, you know, since I was a teenager, I've been involved in all kinds of, you know, positive activism and liberation works. So I've, at 17, I was involved with the anti-nuclear first strike weapons, actions at Lockheed Martin up in Santa Cruz County. I also participated in the Nevada test site, reclaim the test site actions. These are all in the 80s, early 90s. I did over a decade's worth of work working with activists and jailhouse lawyers at Pelican Bay State Prison, assisting their work in liberation from the security housing units and abolition of prisons in general. I care deeply about being an active participant in creating the world that we want to live in, and believe that oppression and anywhere is intolerable if we want to live in a free world. So to me, justice and freedom and liberation of people is something that I really care about. I'm part of the Global Samud Flotilla for a Free Palestine. The genocide that is happening in real time is unacceptable. It's atrocious that nation states stand by and let all of this unfold while doing nothing. So while governments don't act, civilians are standing up, and that's what the flotilla is civilians coming together with our collective power to enact the world that we want. We want a free Palestine. We want human dignity for the Palestinian people. We sail until Palestine is free.
What should people in Humboldt County take away from your experience?
I was talking to Wind Beaver yesterday. He's here in the same port as me. And we were talking about how there are four people from Humboldt County as part of this flotilla. We're about 1% of the group here. And we were kind of marveling that this small, rural, remote place is actually well represented in this global movement. Oftentimes living in Humboldt, I personally can feel isolated in terms of having, you know, political agency on a larger scale. A lot of the work that I do in Humboldt is very local. What can I do on a local scale to make our world better and more just? But here we're working, you know, with people from all different countries, ethnicities, backgrounds, and it's just a scale that is hard to feel like you can affect while in Humboldt, but Humboldt has the capacity to make change locally, globally, anywhere. So I just encourage and believe that we can all find the things that are going to make the meaningful impacts that we want to enact. And sometimes it can feel like a struggle to feel like we actually can make a difference. But when you do feel that feeling of collective power in those moments, they can be fleeting. Like, hold on to that and use that as a guide to keep moving forward. So in terms of any takeaways for Humboldt County, like, let's live the world we want to live in. Let's do that. And keep fighting, keep living, keep loving.